Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We are continuing our series on tithing and giving, and we want to finish up the consequences about our misunderstanding tithing. We've been talking about, because of that misunderstanding, believers are not learning how to hear the Lord for themselves. And at the root of that is this whole approach that has been taken for as long as grace has been available, there's been the mixing of grace and law. And we see that so prevalently in the church's teachings on finances. And until we get the idea straight about tithing, we aren't going to really be able to enter into some really helpful and beneficial and clarifying discussions about our finances, about how we handle money, what is wealth, what is poverty. And because of that, there are actually sides regarding our approach to money. We take sides whether people should work hard in order to have more. Is it evil? Is it bad to be able to provide for yourself, for your family, and for your posterity? There's this idea that Christians shouldn't have more than they need, or enough to take care of their immediate needs and no more. Everything else should be given away. And until we understand that it's all ours to begin with, and we need to learn how to be the princes that we are, the inheritance is ours now, and it's not going away. Our job is to learn how to manage it and how to live with the wealth of the kingdom, the wealth of the ages. And I'm not just talking about finances. Let's say material stuff is just one aspect of our inheritance. And it's interesting, so many of the other aspects of our inheritance were much more comfortable pursuing. We pursue knowledge, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the information that's available, new discoveries of God. We want to be able to heal. We want to be able to encourage. We want to be able to help. But part of that inheritance in God is material stuff, material goods. And until we are comfortable with that, we talk about God being omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, that he owns everything because he created everything. And we see that limitless capabilities and potential in him, and yet we also have that, again, in our spirit. But one of the things that's keeping us from fully participating in his fullness, in all areas is a separation within us, that it's okay to pursue a gift of healing, but it's not okay to pursue material goods. Why do we want a gift of healing? Why do we want to be able to heal? Is it for our own sake? No, it's for others. But we are first partakers of that healing. We experience for ourselves first. Then we share it with others. Our needs are met first. And then, only then can we share it with others. And even the basis of discussing these things, we need to look at. Because our final understanding is not going to be our motivation, but God's motivation. And let me explain. When we talk about why you want the gift of healing, it doesn't really matter. What it comes down to, does God want you to exercise the gift of healing? Is that an area He's training you in? And if it is, are you putting your effort to learning what He wants you to be learning? Now, the gift of healing is an aspect or an expression of who you are. You don't need to receive the gift of healing. You are the gift of healing. You are a healer. That's part of your character. That's part of your new spiritual nature, your identity. Just as you have all wisdom, you have all power, you also have all wealth, all material goods. You already have a cattle on 1,000 hills. You already have all the gold, all the kingdom. Again, we go back to that illustration of the devil tempting Jesus with, you know, if you bow to me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. And how funny it must have been, because Jesus already knew He owned them. He owned all the kingdoms of this world. And we need to have that realization as well. You own all the kingdoms of this world. And if you believe that you are somehow not deserving or entitled to that, for whatever reason, you're believing a lie. And you'll not then be able to rest and learn what God wants you to learn about that area. And this is true across the board, not just about finances, but about the other characteristics that God has given you in your spirit. If you don't believe if you believe, for instance, you've taken maybe one of those gift surveys and it's told you this is your gifting or that is your gifting. You're gifted in a ministry, let's say the prophetic, or helps, or encouragement. What does that do? That in our own mind, we discount all the others. And we reject the fullness of what God has for us. When God says, that which is born of spirit is spirit. He's talking about you. Not a belief, not angels, not a movement, a spiritual movement, but he's talking about you. You are the co-inheritor. You are the joint heir. You are what's important to him. So we're not looking for a change in our belief for the sake of believing the right thing. But if you have cordoned off, have sectioned out, these are the things that I'm good at. These are my gifts. These are my callings. This is my purpose. What that automatically does is divide off and separate you from all the others. And everything is available to you. And again, we don't think it's at all problematic to be pursuing those things that have been deemed acceptable to pursue. We've let others decide what is good for us to pursue. Rather than, Lord, what is it you want me to learn how to manage here on this earth? And we go through times and seasons. Each one of us has our own. We've talked many times about, and most people understand, about the dispensation of times, about how God relates to his creation according to his own time frame, his own age or eon. And in that eon is how he has chosen to reveal himself and interact with his creation, which includes us. And then in the fullness of time, he revealed himself through his Son. And now that fullness of time for the next age has come. And there's a fullness for this time, where he's revealing not only his Son to us, but through us. And where we see his Son in our reflection. That's your fullness of time. And if we partition off that somebody else is going to tell us these are what our options are for this time, we are letting someone else be the authority in our lives. And again, this always goes back to being able to hear God for ourselves. What is it that you believe God has given you the okay to pursue? When we talk about, you know, pursuing God, making it to the next level, achieving your purpose, what is that in your life that others or you believe, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be pursuing. This is what my motivation is supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to be doing in order to make God happy or in order to fulfill my gift or calling or purpose. What is that? Now, by having one thing, unless you've heard it from God, you're excluding all the others. And recognize that this time here on this earth is set aside for you to learn all of it. There's nothing keeping you back from learning all of it. If Jesus did it, what did he say? Greater things shall you do. His prayer for us was that we would be one, not you and I, but us and him, that we would be one spirit, soul, and body in him. Not so that you and I would be in agreement or all Christians would be unified. Now that will happen because the more we depend on God and become one spirit, soul, and body, the more we are included in that fellowship of the believers. Not believers in doctrine, but believers in reality. By experience, the closer we are all to being one, spirit, soul, and body, independence, in dependence on Him, the closer we get to one another. But not because we agree. Not because we spend time with one another. Not because we've ever even talked to one another. But the fellowship is through unity of His body, His being, His spirit. And if we believe that our purpose and our calling is tied to doing something or believing something or focusing on something that someone else has said at any given time or even what's comfortable to us, we are discounting and rejecting the fullness of what God has for us now. So by saying God does not want me to learn how to be wealthy or powerful or gifted or prominent, influential. If we believe God does not want us to do those things, drawing attention to ourselves, it's not an either or. It's how do we learn to be that without it interfering with our identity. Your inheritance is simply your resource. Your inheritance as a son of God is simply your resource to learn to manage. You are not the son of God, a son of God, because you have an inheritance. You're not a prince, a son of the king, because you have an inheritance. It's the other way around. You have an inheritance. You are a joint heir and a co-inheritor because you are a son of the king. You're the little brother to the first son. And He's thrilled to teach you how to be a son of God. And what it means to manage all the resources that are available to all of us. So until we see the stumbling block that mixing law and grace has brought us in so many areas. Let's talk about healing for a second. So many want to pursue a gift, any gift. And maybe that's something God has placed on their heart. You know, God really wants you to learn how to heal others. And we look for an excuse to motivate ourselves. Well, if I can heal others, I'll be sure to give God the glory, and He will be glorified and honored, and I will pursue a gift of healing so that He will be honored, and other people will be helped. Rather than just being real straightforward and saying, I'm going to pursue learning how to use the gift of healing because the healer is in me, that's who I am, and this is what God has put on my plate for this moment. So this is my assignment. This is what the homework God has given me, learn how to heal others, and so that's what I'm going to do. Whether it works, whether other people agree with me, whether it gets me any acknowledgement, whether God is honored or glorified or not, none of those matter. Because you're doing what God has assigned you to do. Now that's going to bring a lot of conflict. Because there's nothing more disturbing to those who are looking to other sources for an affirmation of how they're doing nothing's more offensive than someone who is confident in what they're doing. It's labeled arrogance, pride, when all it is confidence that you've heard from God. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, regardless of the consequences, regardless whether it, quote, unquote, works. Are you pursuing what God wants you to pursue? Now, you may have a desire in a certain area, and you go to God and say, what am I supposed to do? Is this what you want me to be focusing on? And he may say no, and it, through testing and making sure it's him. But because very often he plants seeds, and very often he plants that seed and then gives us the training, and we don't notice it growing until it's time to really put the focus on it. But during that time, he's training us how to be patient, how to be focused, how to put other things in order in our lives. So coming back to this finances thing, until we can distinguish where we get our information from, if you believe that tithing and giving are the same thing, you're not going to be able to take on your own responsibility for learning to hear from God about other areas. You're going to let other people dictate to you when God is pleased with you. You're going to let others, and this includes your own beliefs, your own history, what your parents taught you, what your church has taught you, what you believe about the scriptures, or the songs, the books you read, whatever, your own personal philosophy. You're not going to be able to question it until you know it's your responsibility to question it. In so many ways, God just wants us to grow up, recognize who we are, and learn to be that. Remember, in your spirit, the job's done. God's not trying to grow you up in your spirit. It's a done deal. And because of that, you know, we have this idea of when God, you know, that we're all just so sinful that when God looks at us, he has to put a Jesus filter in between. So he sees us through his son's eyes. And there's many ways of presenting that. Well, that's a lie. God doesn't pretend. There's no as if. When God looks at you, if you have been re-spirited, he sees your spirit. And he sees it a completed work. And you are in communication with him and seeing him through those same eyes. You are, in your spirit, you are a completed work. You see yourself that way. So any arguing about you being a sinful person, or you're just a sinner saved by grace and you're never going to be able to get anywhere or get accomplished, or, you know, why even be here? You know, you've already wrecked God's plan for your life, so how are you ever going to get back on track? There's just not enough time. You don't know. You've made so many mistakes, you would never be able to undo them. That's not God speaking, and it's not you either. You are now, you're who you truly are, is a spirit being, and your purpose has already been fulfilled in your spirit. Who you truly are is already accomplished. Everything that needs to be accomplished here on this earth spiritually has been done. And One of the things we learn how to do is redeem the time. That doesn't mean pretend that we didn't make mistakes. Instead, it's how to use those mistakes to accomplish now what God wants us to accomplish now. So we need to distinguish, as we talk about tithing and giving, if we can't get over that and learn to hear from God for that, odds are we're going to have a real hard time hearing from God in other areas. And this is a big, and we've talked many times before, I won't go into it in great detail, about how this is a matter of control. That believers are not being taught how to give or hear from the Lord for themselves because they would then have control of their own lives. That's also why there is this stronghold of poverty within organized churches, within the whole Christianity, because there's a mix of grace and law. This idea that you are free to give only if you have already tithed. That you have to, there's a duty to the church first. And then, above and beyond that, you can give. But God gives the first fruits. No, you are the first fruit, and He's already received you. It's all His anyway, and so it's all yours anyway. Remember, we study to show ourselves approved, not to get ourselves approved. We're not going, it's not an active, we're not going somewhere. We're revealing that we are approved. God's given you that stamp of approval. It's permanent. It's permanent ink. No one, nothing can rub it off. And we are here to have that revealed, our spiritual reality revealed in our soul, in our behavior, in our mind, will, and emotions. We give because we have received. It's all yours. Now you learn to give. We think about Jesus and how He healed so many people. And yet, think about how many He didn't heal. How many touched Him that didn't get a healing, didn't get a blessing, didn't get what they were asking for. Because every one of us is in a unique situation, a unique experience, and God wants to deal with you right where you're at. That's why we have to learn to ask Him, Lord, what's going on here? And if we can't, if we don't have the confidence that we're hearing His voice clearly, and can tell His voice from all others and test it and have that confidence, we have no other recourse than to trust someone else or something else. And that's rejecting God. He paid a dear price for the privilege of being able to speak to you face to face now and to reveal Himself to you now. So let Him do that. And we just ask right now, Lord, that You would reveal Yourself, reveal the wisdom and the understanding and the healing and the knowledge that each one of us needs. Give us the motivation and the clarity that we need to be able to hear You so that whatever situation we're in, we will know the way you want us to go. And we will be able to draw on you, from you, the life that we need in this earth for this time. And we thanks for what you're doing. So tune in next Saturday. We'll pick it up there. And if you haven't had a chance, sign up on the website to get updates. We're moving forward in some areas, slowly but surely, but I think it will be worth it. Thanks for tuning in. This is Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.